pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Bibles and stand on your feet and honor the word of the Lord today. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As we are in this celebrative season of Jesus' birth, I would be remiss if I did not speak concerning some of the events that led up to this wonderful celebration. And I want to call your attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, recorded are these words: "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, understanding your season. Understanding your season. I think one of the most needful and necessary areas for saints to focus in on, especially as relates to personal blessings, prophecies, and or works that God has assigned to you as an individual, is to understand your season, understand your timing, understanding your calling, understanding that God, though he may have called you, he also has a time set so that he has called you will come into fruition. One of the greatest illustrations of that, and simply stated, is in Jeremiah chapter 1, where you begin to see God calls Jeremiah as a boy, as it is referred to, and yet it is in his later life that the fulfillment of the things that God spoke to him as a child came to pass or came to fruition. And a whole lot of times we don't understand that just because God spoke it today doesn't mean that it'll happen today. And some of us become shaken, some of us become disturbed, some of us become disobedient, some of us become disillusioned, on and on and on, because things don't happen when we think they ought to happen. And one of the things that the devil wants to do is to get you so disgusted because it doesn't happen because God told you it was going to happen, and yet he did not give you a specific time, that moment that he told you, and it doesn't happen when your mind and others that you've told about it thinks that it ought to happen, then you begin to doubt whether it's God. Now, if the devil can get you doubting, he and then get you pouting and get you, you know, all caught up in self and not on God and his glory, then he'll cause you to miss the things that God has for you. And then worse than that, he'll frustrate you until it gets there. Now, hear the story, because I want us to see ourselves, though this is talking about Zacharias, the father of John, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And here, to understand the story and to see how it plays out, John is the one who will prepare the way for Jesus to come through. John is the one who is going to announce Jesus is coming to the earth, to his ministry, rather, to the world, to make clear and known that he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He is the front runner for Jesus. Now, the devil wants again to destroy, to disturb, and distress the plan of God. But the only way he can do it is getting to the people of God. And if he can get the worker to become frustrated with the work, then the work ceases to be fruitful. Look at what the word says, because the Bible says in verse 11, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." It says, "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Now, he's, you know, ministering and in the sanctuary, and, you know, it all seemed like the last place you'd be scared to see a supernatural or divine manifestation is in the house of God. Look like you would expect that. But sometimes it's just going to show you that everybody coming to church don't expect God to show up in a manifested form. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Now look at what verse 13 says. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not." Because whenever God deals with you, the first thing that he's got to get through and get beyond is your fear. Because fear, in this sense, is not a helpful thing. It is unreverential, because this is not the respect and fear of God. This is the fear that enters into the heart that causes man not to be the recipient of the blessings of God. So it says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Now, this sets up something that's very interesting. Now, Zacharias is coming in response to the answer to the prayer that he prayed. Which brings to mind something I think we ought to be careful about. You ought to not pray for what you really don't want, or what you really don't believe God for. Because if you believed him when you prayed, and listen at this, because, you know, I'm not real clear and sure, because the scripture doesn't magnify this point, so therefore I don't have the license to magnify it, but I do want to throw this out parenthetically, that whether Zacharias prayed in recent days or he had prayed in years past and gone is irrelevant. The fact that he prayed for what he wanted, and if he believed believed that when he prayed, he was going to have what he asked for, then it shouldn't have mattered when it showed up. Because he knew it was going to show up. You see, John says, if we pray and we know, we believe that we have, according as we pray to the will of God, that we have what we ask for, then in the immediacy of our prayer, we begin to thank God, praise God, we begin to give God glory because we know it's going to happen. We know it's going to materialize. We may not know when it's going to happen, but if we're praying according to the will of God and we know what we're asking him is right and we know it is for us, then we can pray with confidence. And if you pray with confidence and know it's coming, you can put that in the answer category and go on about your business. Now, if you're not sure, you might have to go back and repeat it. Oh, Lord, did you hear what I said? I said, I want such and such and such. You know, but when your faith becomes strong enough where you know God's going to answer your prayer, you pray it, attach amen to it, and set it in the answer category. And then you go on about your business, and sooner or later, God's going to show up and say, here's the answer to your prayer. Oh, yeah, I prayed that 12 years ago. That's all right. It was now the time for it to manifest. So listen at this now, because again, I want you to see this. The Bible is very clear on how this operation takes place. Now, let me say this to you, because what's important is while Zacharias has now the answer to the prayer that he has prayed, the word says, and he makes clear, specifically so the angel, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Now, obviously in his prayer from scripture, we can say that he prayed for his wife to bear a child. He was more specific in saying, I want a son. Because in the Eastern culture, especially in that period in time, and even today, male children are preferred over women children because of work, because of heritage and so forth and so on and on and on. And so one of the things that was important too is according to scripture, if the first child is a male child, then the womb of the woman is blessed because it's all a part of scripture and a part of that tradition. And so he wanted his first child to be a male child. So he prayed specifically for a son. Now this was his prayer. He didn't say, Lord, just give me a child, whatever it is. As long as it's happy, I'm happy. As long as it's healthy, I'm happy. You know, he didn't pray nothing like that. He was specific. I want a male child. And I want this to be, again, obviously when he prayed this, he and Elizabeth had been trying for years, and obviously it was recognized that that was a problem in that area. And so when he prayed specifically for the manifestation of this prayer to be done in his wife. And the word says that the angel comes and tell him, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Very uncharacteristic of the names of that day and of that people and land. And so as a result of that, that's going to present a problem later. But here is what you need to know. The first thing in understanding your season is that it is appointed. Your season is appointed. Tell your neighbor, your season is appointed. Now you got to know this, you got to understand this, because if you understand your season is appointed, then you're going to recognize that every season that rolls by ain't yours. When somebody else is being blessed, when somebody else is, flowing in their season, you don't get all toe up, you don't get jealous, you don't get envious, you don't start. No, because you realize that your season is appointed. And whether you know it or not, ain't nothing going to happen till your season come. So hating on somebody else ain't going to help your season. It may delay it, but it's not going to help it. And so what you need to do while somebody else is going through their season is rejoice with them in their season, so that at the time of your season, others will rejoice with you. Can I get an amen, somebody? You see, what you need to know is while it may not be your season, it is somebody's season. And you need to see them in their season and celebrate with them in their season, because your season has already been appointed. God has already been appointed, has already appointed your season, even though it may not yet be announced. I said God has already appointed your season, even though it may not yet be announced. Now listen at this, because this is so important. Because I don't care who you are, if you belong to God and you understand the will of God, the word of God, the way of God, you've got to know you've got an appointed season. You have got, I don't care where you serve and what your place is, what your status is, if you're a child of God, you have a season. So know that your season is appointed, and you have got to be in a place where you recognize your season so that when your season comes, you do not disbelieve it's here. Yeah. Some folks been waiting on their season so long, they're like, this my season. No, we don't, you know, we, when you're standing in expectation, you waiting for it to happen. But when you don't know you've got a season appointed to you and it shows up, you won't even recognize it because you don't even understand how God operates. Now listen to what the word says again. It says, verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. Can I ask you when this is? In his season. In your season, you're going to have joy and gladness. That's a part of the fruit of your season. That comes with your season. You ain't got to work for that. That's a part of the gift of your season. Listen again, because the word and joins together as Zacharias is told about the appointment of his season and what shall be a part of that fruition of his season. And connected with this is joy and gladness. Listen at this. And many shall rejoice at his birth. And many shall rejoice at his birth. In his season, when his time comes, many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So he was definitely, listen at this, an appointed child with an anointing on his life to do the work, to do what God had willed him to do. And God is saying this to his father, Zacharias, so that he would understand when his season got here what to expect. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you line yourself up with God's word and his will and his way, and you spend time communing with God, when God appoints a season to you, one of the ways to know you're in your season is to understand and see the fruit when it comes.
That's right.
Understanding that fruit always shows up in its season. The tree may remain year round, but the fruit only show up in its season. And y'all not hearing me yet. And understanding this, you know that when the fruits start to develop, it is the beginning of your season. Now listen at what this word says. Again, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, this was John's message. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. He had a mission to prepare the people to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as Deliverer, and more especially as Lord of their lives. His message was so powerful that he didn't have to go to the city to pronounce it and announce it. He stood in the wilderness and the city came to the country to hear him preach such an awesome word. He then shook up the establishment and the established religion of that day because they were more steeped in tradition rather than in truth. They were steeped in religion rather than in righteousness. And John's mission was to make clear that Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, was on his way, and the people of God who would get right with God would need to come through Jesus Christ because Jesus was the way. This was the message of John, the ministry of John, the mission of John, and he was going to cause many in Israel to see Jesus, because as his mission and anointing was in his season to be the forerunner of Jesus, that anointing was going to be there on his life to cut the hearer's heart, to make sure that it was not just messages as usual and messages that were without any power. These were messages that would convict and would change people's lives and prepare them to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look again, because I want you to see something. Now Zacharias has heard from Gabriel. Gabriel is through talking. Now Zacharias picks up in verse 18 and says unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Now, that's not altogether a very difficult question or a question that, because Zacharias would say, when is this going to happen? Now, listen, that would have been all right if he had stopped there. Because the truth of the matter is, if the angel of the Lord comes and he's having a conversation with you and telling you what's going to happen in your season, the natural response is, when is it going to happen? But when is my season coming, Lord? And nothing's wrong with this, but what he was literally doing now is literally refuting. He was doubting and denying the season that God had appointed unto him. And this is what Zacharias doesn't understand, is that this angel, Gabriel, was not just any angel. I mean, God thought a whole lot of him to send Gabriel down to talk with him. And Gabriel got an attitude. Gabriel said, man, I know I ain't wasting my time. Gonna live all the way from heaven to show up here to tell you. I mean, God expressly sent this message to you by me. He could have sent a whole lot of folk. But he said, me, and you gonna ask me what you... Look at what the words say. He says, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. In essence, Gabriel's saying, you don't think God knew that? I mean, you may have asked 25 years ago, but God knew when you asked that 25 years later, he was going to give it to you. But whenever he chose to give it to you, he was going to show up and show out, get the glory, and give you the good. Don't you think God knew when your season had been appointed? To you, then you'll blow it all. So I'm going to wait till you get some sense. I wish I had somebody. Some things he ain't going to give to you until you can handle them, even though they belong to you. So he doesn't always give you your season when it's convenient for you. Encourage your neighbor and tell your season don't always come when it's convenient. Now, if you can't tell nobody that, maybe you got issues. Tell another neighbor, your season doesn't always come when it's convenient. If somebody hadn't yet experienced their season, tell them, hold on. Your season is coming. Come on, tell another somebody, hold on, your season is coming. And if ain't nobody around you, tell yourself, self, hold on, my season is coming. Now that's what you've got to understand. You've got to understand your season is coming. And listen to this, connected with your season is going to be joy and gladness. So if I'm an old man, joy and gladness is going to still be connected with my season. You ain't got to rush and do nothing because everybody else doing it. They either doing it because it's their season or they silly. You'll catch that on your way home. I say they're either doing it because it's their season or they're silly. You do anything for your season and you're not going to prosper. Give yourself a whole lot of headache and heartaches for nothing because you're trying to jump seasons. Sit on down. Listen. Look at what the word says. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. You don't know me? Gabriel was a little touched here. Look at what Gabriel says. That stand. I ain't just somewhere around. I'm just not anywhere in heaven. Man, my position is to stand. The other folk are bowing. God has positioned and anointed me to stand in his presence. I am authorized to do business for the king, man. Listen to what he's saying. Now listen. And am, conjunction tied together. Not only am I Gabriel authorized to do business, but I'm sent to speak unto thee, meaning I'm authorized. Next thing you need to know, that not only is your season appointed, but your season is authorized. I'm going to write that down and speak that out. My season is authorized.
Nothing is worse than trying to get a season unauthorized. Unauthorized seasons do not profit you. They are not real. They are fictitious, phony, fake. If your season is not authorized, it means that God's blessings are not stamped upon. It's important to know that it's your season authorized by God. Because, see, the devil will try to give you what's called a fake season, but it's really a season that appears to be your season, but it's really not your season. And that's where you got to know that your season is authorized. Because you know what? When it's your season, I'm going to throw this helpful hint out for you so you'll know this. When it's your season, you ain't got to do nothing. You don't have to make your season come. Your season naturally is appointed by God, and your season is authorized by God. So in spite of you, it's going to come when God says so. Look at Zacharias. He prayed this prayer sometimes, so much so, again and long before I am led to believe, because now he's telling the angel, man, I'm old and my wife is well stricken. She's beyond child producing years. So obviously this leads me to believe that the prayer was prayed when he thought she could have a child. Now he's resolved himself to the thinking that she's too old to have a child, and me too, and so I'm not thinking about no child no more. But his season was appointed and it was authorized, and Gabriel was sent to tell him that. Not only was it authorized, but Gabriel said, you need to know you're going to have a boy, and I'm going to tell you what his name is before he ever gets here, and it's John, not Zacharias. No, it wasn't Zechariah the second. This is untraditional. This is uncustomary. How you gonna name him John? That's not even a name named of that nationality. How is this so? See, all of this didn't make sense, and Zechariah is dealing with this. And so listen again at what the word says. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And you know what seemed odd here? It should have seemed like he should have been more happy. At this stage, knowing it was a miracle, knowing it was supernatural, knowing that God had sent Gabriel himself to announce this birth to Zechariah, and he should have been excited about it. It's glad tidings. It's good news. That's what glad tidings means. And he's not handling it as though it were. So look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, and behold, verse 20, thou shalt be dumb. Since you're acting dumb, you shall be silent. See, because right about then, he should have had a praise party going on. He should have been thanking God and giving God glory. Gabriel had given him the good news. That's good news. See, and this is a helpful holy hint. Sometime when you don't know how to shout on good news, God will show you how to keep your mouth shut by making you dumb, keeping you from the blessings until they are manifest. If you can't give it, see, saints who know and understand and walk in faith don't have to wait till it actually manifests to start the praise party. When they get the confirmation that it is what it is, they need to start the party right then. See, that's faith, because you're ushering it in by saying, yes, Lord, thank you. I believe it, I receive it, and I'm going to start celebrating right now. So because he was dumb, kept his mouth closed, the angel of the Lord says again, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Look at that now. Because, here is the reason, thou believest not my words. The angel words and the words of the Lord had become one, because the messenger was the direct expression of the message sent by God. And so he aligned himself with it. It was his word that God had spoken through him. So he took possession of it and he made it clear, you have not believed my words. representative of God in this earth realm. He was sent by God to tell him that word. And Gabriel said, you didn't believe my word. Oh, what the awesome danger in not believing what God has spoken through the man or woman of God. Isn't that what the word says? He says, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in when?